In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I have a lot of discussions with a lot of people, and I'm always thinking. In fact, that's kind of a problem for me, to be honest with you, because I think so much. So that's a problem, to think too much. But some of you don't think enough, so that's a problem too. So you kind of have to find the middle, where you think, but you have the right thoughts about things. And a discussion I had some time ago made me think a lot. And this gospel about the paralytic kind of very much touches on this problem that all of us are aware of. Everybody in the world's aware of this problem. Why does stuff happen? Why does it seem sometimes that things are not fair? Why do some people suffer that are evil or that are not evil, and people who are evil don't suffer? Why does all this stuff happen? Why do children get bone cancer? These are serious questions. And if people think about them in the wrong context, then they lose their faith, or they don't even form any faith. And our society nowadays, I think, has a lot of these questions that are answered without God. And I'm going to attempt to answer it in the way that the Christian life answers it. So the question comes up about this healing of the paralytic. Jesus, he told the man his sins were forgiven. He was lying in a bed. He hadn't been walking for all of his life. The immediate problem was the man was paralyzed. That's what he needed, right? That's what he appeared to need. And the Lord said, your sins are forgiven. Now, it appears from the gospel that he's then healing him in order to prove a point. But really, he knows all things. He knew that they were going to have this judgment. Who can forgive sins but God only? So he was going to say, which is easier? Well, of course it's easier to say your sins are forgiven, because that's an invisible thing. I could say that I have an elephant repellent, you know? Well, there's no elephant, so evidently it works, huh? It's easy to say things that are not easily demonstrated to be false. But if you say, take up your bed and walk, well, of course, if he doesn't get up, then it's clear that you have no power. So that's the external reason why he healed him. But the internal reason, the spiritual reason, is that we are body and soul. He healed the man completely. But he healed the most important thing first. But probably to many people around, they might have thought, that doesn't seem right. He said his sins are forgiven, and it looks like he wouldn't have even healed the man except that there was a controversy about this. Wasn't what he really needed to be healed of his paralysis? That doesn't sound fair. So many things in life, they seem unfair to us. And I would say they seem unfair always. Well, sometimes things really are unfair, of course, you know, and we see that they're terrible. But sometimes we just have the wrong opinion about something because we're not seeing the essence of something. The essence of what we need is forgiveness of sins, and then much more than that, actually, is the remission of our sins to go away, and for us to substitute, instead of our sins, virtues, and goodness, and union with God. That's what we need. That's what we're born for. That's the most important thing. What is the greatest tragedy in the world today? What's the worst thing that you can think of? Can you think of that there's so much hunger? Do you know that 25% of the people in the world don't have water that's clean? That gives them diseases? What about sickness? What about tyranny? What about all the people that are being tortured and enslaved and all the rest? What about drug addiction? All these things are terrible. The most terrible thing in the world, by far, is sin in our souls that keeps us from knowing God, because that's what we were born for. That's the greatest tragedy. A common thing right now in politics is some tragedy happens, a shooting or something, since they happen so incredibly often. And people say, my thoughts and prayers are with them. And people say, what good are thoughts and prayers? We got to get rid of guns, or we got to do this, or we got to do that. And if people just say thoughts and prayers, I'd think that's pretty useless. Now, if you think and then you pray, that's very useful. So I'm not so sure how many people are saying thoughts and prayers are actually going and praying. When I tell you I'll pray for you, I write your name down and I pray for you, because I've made you a promise. to you and to God. So thoughts and prayers can be useless, but if you're praying, that's the most useful thing you can do. There's nothing more powerful than you can do than pray for someone. The only solution to the problems of the world is love. And love leads to prayer, always. If you're love, if you say you love and you don't pray, then I'm sorry, you don't love. It's just true. You have to pray. Praying for those that you care about. Praying for maybe those that you don't know. Praying for those that are suffering. Praying based upon your life experiences, perhaps for people who have had drug addiction or have had an abortion or are having some marital problems or anything, even people you don't know. We pray for those people. And that's a hard thing to do. It's the hardest thing I do every day, is to pray for people. It's very difficult. Now, it's very easy to say thoughts and prayers. It's very easy to say, Lord, have mercy on everybody in the world, and then go eat breakfast. But it's really hard to pray. And it's the most significant thing you can do. Now, that prayer is action. It is the best action you can have. And that action will also lead to other actions. So in the context of your prayer, you will possibly do something, whether it's feeding somebody, visiting a prison, counseling somebody, helping somebody in some way, you'll have action. But then also, there's action by God. You don't see that action. You don't see, when the paralytic was healed, they didn't see that he was forgiven his sins. They just heard about it. They didn't see what happened in the man's soul. So God acts when we pray. He said he did. He said he will. Do we believe him or not? And then also there's actions by others that are influenced by the grace of God when you pray. So that's the most critical thing you can be doing. Now, I want to show you a few things from the services last night. You know that I harp on this all the time. And some of you, you know, that you've bought Lenten Triodions and you're starting to read them. I'll never stop talking about this until I'm dead. I won't stop. Because it's so critical for you to be immersed in our service language, in how things are said, and the values that are in our services. I really don't understand the concept of coming to church only on Sunday. I'll never understand it. I just don't get it. I just don't understand it. If there is a beautiful, wonderful feast, then you come to the feast. You don't come just to have dessert and coffee. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But the majority of people in the world, that's the way they live. You come to church on Sunday. Maybe once in a while you come on Saturday, but mostly it's an ordeal to do that. I just want you, somehow, somebody, one of you to say, what he's saying makes sense. He's been saying it for umpteen years, and it really makes sense now. And start reading this stuff, and you go, this is amazing. So I want to show you some amazing things. And it's all in the context of that the Lord first forgave the sins of the paralytic, then he healed him. He did the most important thing first. And he's doing the most important thing, even though we, with our vision in the world, we tend to think other things are important. Especially with the way media speaks and everything else, there's this push to be concerned about material things. I don't mean material things like having money and acquiring TV sets. I don't mean that. But I mean the material world. But what's most critical is what's happening to our soul. So let me show you a few things. So the problem is this. Here's the big problem of mankind. This is your only problem. You think you got a lot of problems? You got one problem. Just one. That's it. Your problem is sin. Your problem is the fallenness of your nature. Your problem is you were made for a purpose, and you can't get to that purpose without getting rid of sin. Well, of course, there's a solution for that problem. We know the solution. We're going to talk about it in a minute. So here's the problem described in the canon from last night. Thou hast conferred upon me a royal birthright. You know what that royal birthright is? Made in the image of God to obtain his likeness. Becoming man for my sake, O Word, but I have despised this gift. I am bitterly condemned to feed swine, the offspring of my sins. But in thy compassion, spare me, O Savior. That's the problem. The problem is we have swinish behavior, swinish thoughts. We have things that confuse us, things that trouble us, things that get us into trouble, things that make us unhappy. That's our problem. So what is the solution? The solution is to live according to Jesus Christ, who became man. And here's a wonderful description of the incarnation. Adam's nature was made godlike, O virgin, when without undergoing change, God took flesh within thy womb, and we who were deceived of old by the hope of becoming gods have been set free from the ancient condemnation. Jesus Christ became man. He became man in every single way we are men. The only thing that he did that we couldn't do was he didn't sin. So he did not sin. He perfected his flesh and then made us capable. And this is the whole point of you becoming alive, is to be with God. That's all that matters. I've told people this many times. You know, I go to prisons a lot. Sometimes the stories in prisons are just heartbreaking. Sometimes I leave prison just shaking because of the history of a person that I know, that we've talked about that day. And there's a lot of terrible things that have happened to all of us. And sometimes it's really hard with our memories. We remember those things. Perhaps they've marked us for all of our lives. Perhaps we'll never really fully escape events that have happened to us, whatever they are. But in the next life, there will be no pain. We pray this prayer, O God of spirits, for the dead. We pray that there be no sickness nor sighing, but life everlasting. It's been prayed billions of times, trillions of times, throughout the centuries. God will answer that prayer, which means that in the next life you won't have any unhappiness about the things that happened to you, the things that happened to your loved ones, the terrible things that are in this world. And there are many, many terrible things, horrible, horrific things that are happening every day, every moment. But in the next life, there will only be happiness. That is, if we are in the blessed life. In hell, there will only be remembering those things, and that the intensity of them will be higher and terrible. But in the next life, you won't be sorry about whatever missed opportunities you've had in this life, whatever terrible things have happened to you or to your loved ones, because there will only be happiness. That's an incredible thing, and I cannot understand it, because in this life, there are terrible things that I remember. I bet you do too. You remember those terrible things, maybe that have been done to you or that you've done to others or that have happened to others that you care about. And you really can't shake off that memory. Every time you think about it, it hurts. But in the next life, it won't hurt. That's what really matters. Because we can't fix things in this life. So if the paralytic had been told to walk, but not healed of his sins, he wouldn't have been healed. He would have looked better to everybody, but then he would have died in his sins. What the Lord cares about is your sins. He wants you to be free of them because he wants you to be able to know him. And you can't know him with sins in your heart. It's just not possible. It's like being able to see the sun with your eyes closed. You can't. It's not possible. You might be able to feel the light a little bit, but you can't see unless you open your eyes. And sin is like having our eyes closed beyond our will. So the Lord will help us to open our eyes. That's what really matters in this life. And that's why the order was as such in the healing of the paralytic. First, the most important thing. And then the secondary thing. And the secondary thing is important. But it must be in the context of the most important thing. So everything you do in your life for others is important. But if it's done without prayer, then you're on a fool's errand. and you're not going to help them much. So you have to do things with prayer. Prayer has to be before, during, and after everything. The whole time. So now we've talked about the problem and part of the solution. And I just want to show one more verse from the canon that really struck me last night. It's kind of strange in the canon, when I'm reading the canon in the church or some part of the service, sometimes I just want to stop and just say, let's just stop and just think about this for a minute. Of course, you really can't, you know, you just have to keep going. So that's why I read it at home, because I can take as much time as I want. When I was in exile far from thee, thou hast taken on thyself my poverty. Thou hast assumed all my human nature in thyself. And for my sake thou offerest thy divine body in sacrifice out of love for man, making it, O word of God, my restoration and my joy. That's what the incarnation did. And that's what the incarnation is doing for you and I. And for the most part, it's invisible. If you walk with a limp, you might walk with a limp the rest of your life, but your soul will no longer be a cripple. That's what really matters. So the answer to the question about why do so many bad things happen in the world, often that are not punished, why? And the answer to that question is, I have no idea, and I don't really care, because I don't have the capacity to understand. But I do have the capacity to understand why God made me, how he made me, and for what purpose he made me. And that resonates in me. And that motivates me. I hope it does you. That's all that matters. If you're motivated by that, you'll do great things. Now, they might not be great things from the world's perspective. You might be a failure from the world's perspective. But you'll be great in the eyes of God, great in the heavens. So this is the perspective that I want you to have. And personally, I'll just, again, get on a little soapbox here. I don't see how you can have it by coming to church on Sunday morning only. I don't see how you can have it by not fasting, by not saying the prayer of St. Ephrem, by not reading the scriptures, by not getting a Lenten triodion and reading the thing. I don't really see how you can do that, because there's so much noise in the world, so much stuff that's telling you stuff. And that's not going to satisfy you, none of it. Nothing material will ever satisfy you, ever. The only thing that will satisfy you is God, because he made you to contain him. He made you with the deep heart that I talk to you about so often, that can contain him. How can we contain the uncontainable? Well, God chooses to be in our heart, and so he is, if we allow him in. Perhaps this will help you when you come across confusing things. I come across confusing things 24 times a day, maybe 200 times a day. Very hard things. But this is all that matters. This is all that I want for you, all that I want for the world, for us to live according to our purpose, for us to shed our sin, for us to be enlightened, us to be invigorated by God, for God to take up his abode in us. If that happens, then we have accomplished everything. May God help you. Amen.